Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
In the past, I have been involved with disaster relief, and most of the time when I go out on a disaster relief trip, I yoke up with Samaritan's Purse. And because of that, I have studied the story of the Good Samaritan several times on my own, just because it's what kind of led them to give them the name that they have. And so I was just been kind of curious about it. I've read a couple of books, one by Franklin Graham and also by the guy that actually started Samaritan's Purse. And every time that I look at this story, I learn something about myself. So I'm hoping maybe you will too. So before I get started, I want to go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. There's nothing greater than your word, Lord. And there's nothing more powerful than your word to change people's lives, Lord. And Lord, I'm thankful that you've changed mine. And Lord, I just pray that everybody that can hear my voice, if they don't know you, Jesus, that they soon will. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Before I get into the scripture, I would like to share part of an article I read this last week that I think has some bearing, a little bit of bearing on what we're studying tonight. Some of you may have seen it. Kyle White, he was a sergeant. And it says, the headline reads, "After braving gunfire to save comrades, Army vet gets highest U.S. military honor." Kyle White now has two pieces of metal to wear. One, a bracelet inscribed with the names of his six comrades killed in an ambush in Afghanistan. The other, a medal of honor given to him for his valor that ensured that that death toll wasn't higher. Speaking minutes after President Barack Obama gave him the highest military honor, White insisted the two emblems are equally significant. They both represent his family on that day 6 years ago, the seven others who, like him, survived, as well as those who did not. The former Army sergeant said Tuesday he owes it to these men, whom he calls my heroes, to live his life well, even now that he's left the military and with honor. I'm thankful for the men and women who serve this country, like Kyle did. He served his country and his fellow man. In this country, we have policemen, firemen, and paramedics that serve us by going into tough situations, risking their safety to protect and save others and our freedoms. We are blessed to live in a country like this. If you watch or read the news, you will see other parts of the world where the pursuit of power, money, and fame have overtaken the justice systems, and people are treated brutally by even those who we would expect to protect them. We as Christians are called to act on the behalf of Christ in a similar manner as Kyle did. Let's read Luke 10, 25 through 37. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So the lawyer answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And Jesus said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he," the lawyer, "wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? The lawyer said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So I wanted to take a look at the characters in this story. I'm going to read through verses 25 through 29 again. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" So here we see the first character, a lawyer. A lawyer in this case is an interpreter and teacher of the Mosaic law. He appears to view Jesus as a teacher, possibly as an equal. Next, we see Jesus, a lawyer as well. He's the one that represents us to the Father in heaven. He knows the word, actually wrote the law, and in fact is the manifestation of the word. Jesus is the one that lives out the law, lives it out perfectly. There looks like there's a mismatch here, don't you think? As we go back through those first 5 verses, we see that the lawyer stood up. It says that the lawyer stood up and tested him. It's almost as if he wanted to get on eye level with Jesus to kind of show that, hey, I'm just as good as you are. I know my stuff. It says that he tested him. He wanted to prove equality or even superiority. He was challenging Jesus. Now he calls him teacher, which is a term of respect, and I'm not sure whether that was really heartfelt or not. It may have been just a way to make Jesus feel a little more comfortable. But he asks a good question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And that's a question that we all should be asking. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have asked that question ourselves. Is what I'm doing, is who I'm following, is the path that I'm on leading to eternal life? It's a good question. But Jesus, being a good lawyer, answers that question with another question. He asks, what is written in the law? What is your reading? See, he lets the lawyer give his definition rather than answering the question himself. And again, he answers with a good answer. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. A good answer. It's what the Bible says. Jesus has even used that. And we know that this love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, body, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus has said that the whole Old Testament hinged on that. And Jesus even commends the lawyer. He says, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Can this be done? Can any of us fulfill the law completely, exactly to the letter? If we could, we would have eternal life. But if we were to answer that question honestly, we would say, Lord, how can I? I know that I can't. I'm weak. I'm a sinner. I fail every day trying to follow that. But if you were told this, what would your answer be? The lawyer answered in a way because he kind of felt like he was on the spot. He was wanting to justify himself. He was wanting to make himself look righteous. And he answered, and who is my neighbor? What he's saying is, hold on a minute, let's get the definition straight. Who am I supposed to love? What are my legal boundaries? And I think oftentimes that's the way we react. So let's look at the characters in the second part of the story. In verse 30 it reads, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So in this portion of Scripture, we have a man on a trip who gets attacked by robbers and is brutally beat. We don't know much about him other than that. Most likely, he was a Jewish man. And then there are the thieves. We don't actually see the thieves. We just see the result of the thieves who did the attacking of the man. And then there's a priest. This is one who would offer sacrifices and be involved with the sacred rites. And then there was a Levite. A Levite is one of the tribe of Levi, and in general, they serve as assistants to the priest. It was their duty to keep the sacred utensils and the temple clean, to provide the sacred loaves, to open and shut the gates of the temple, to sing the sacred hymns in the temple, and to do many other things. The Samaritan was a citizen or inhabitant of Samaria, to the Jews a hated foreigner, one of Jewish and Gentile descent, therefore to the Jewish people seen as unclean. And then last, the innkeeper. He was just a guy trying to make a living. So as we get into this part of the story, we see a certain man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho and gets attacked by thieves. We have this scene of a brutally beaten, bloodied, naked man, definitely needing somebody's help. And in verse 31 it says, now by chance. I don't know about any of you, but I don't think anything in this life happens by chance, especially for those of us who are called by God. There's always a reason why we're in the situation that we're in. But it says, now by chance a certain priest came down. And it says, when he saw the man, so he's walking down the road and he sees the guy laying there, beaten, bloodied, half naked. And being a religious man, you would think that he would have some sort of a heart that would reach out to him. But his reaction was to see him and actually walk to the other side of the road to get away from him. Have you ever had that response when you come upon a scene of some kind? It's like, that guy's, there's something wrong with him. I need to get away. Don't want to get involved. That's the reaction that the priest had. And then we see the next man that comes along, the Levite. He acts just a little bit different. When he came along, it sounds as if there he is, and he kind of went over and kind of investigated, you know, maybe like one of those rubberneckers you see when you're driving down the highway and there's an accident, and they're slowing down, they're looking over there, and then it's like, okay, I need to get on down the road. Seems like he looked a little closer than the priest did, but his reaction was the same, was to move to the other side of the road, to get away from him and to keep moving down the road. And then there's the Samaritan. He was on a journey, and as he came along and came upon the scene, he does the same thing. He sees him, but it says that he had compassion. Now, compassion is a word in the Bible that we see used quite a bit, especially when Jesus meets somebody that has a need. It always says that Jesus had compassion. There was compassion in his heart. So that's a word that I have looked at several times. It's just one of those words that I've always been interested in. I can't tell you why, other than it's one of those qualities that Jesus has. And the definition for compassion is a suffering with another. And it's really kind of hard for me to explain, other than, you know, you just want to get involved. You want to reach out and be a part of that person's life to help them. Well, one thing that I found interesting when looking at definitions is looking at the antonym of a word. And I did that with compassion. The antonym is the opposite meaning of. Antonyms for compassion are cruelty, hard-heartedness, unforgiveness, vindictiveness. And I thought about those words and wondered if they applied to the priest and the Levite. I've wondered if they applied to me in my life and how I've treated people in the past. I know that there's been times when I've been cruel to people. Just do it for the meanness of it. Or hard-heartedness, when you knew somebody was in trouble but you didn't care. Or unforgiveness, they deserve that. Vindictiveness. But that wasn't the heart of the Samaritan. It was compassion. A suffering with another. And rather than walk away like the other two did, he walked toward. And he did what he could with what he had. He bandaged his wounds. He used oil and wine to sterilize and soothe his wounds. And then he picks him up and puts him on his own animal. It's kind of interesting, they're trading places. Brought him to an inn. And not just dropped him off, but he spent some more time with him. Took care of him. It says on the next day, he spent the night there with him. And that wasn't enough even then. He took out some more of his own money, gave him to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever else you spend, I'll pay you back the next time I come through. And then we get to the question that Jesus asked the lawyer. So remember, the question that the lawyer asked Jesus was, so who is my neighbor? After this story, Jesus asked the lawyer a question. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? You see, Jesus was asking, who is the one who loved? Where the lawyer was asking, who is my neighbor? Who is the one I'm supposed to love? What are my legal limits? What we see is Jesus, in my mind, telling us that we're supposed to follow the spirit of the law to love, not the legal version, not the legalistic, you know, if you follow these rules, then you'll be okay. It's the spirit of the law. It's the heart of who Jesus is and who we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be about love, giving of ourselves. It is the intent and spirit of the law that we are supposed to follow, not the rules and regulations. Then Jesus said to the lawyer, go and do likewise. So I've been asking a lot of questions, I guess, and that's, I don't know, maybe that's just the way God wanted me to go this evening, but one of the questions I had for myself, and I have for you, is who are you in this story? Are you the lawyer? Do you challenge God? Do you question His word? I don't think these are necessarily bad in themselves anyway. I think if you have the right heart, wanting understanding of who God is and what your role as being a follower of His is supposed to be, I think those are good things. Are you the thief? The one who destroys and steals? Who is the thief in the Bible? Satan. Do you ever take on Satan's character sometimes? I know that I have. The priest or the Levite, I kind of lump them together. Are you one of those? You know, if you were to tell the story in modern times today, that could have been a pastor or maybe a yard worker at the church, an elder or a musician. If you looked at the description of the Levite, they had regular chores to do around the church. So any one of those could have been, I think, filled in for those people in that story. And those two, even though they should have a sense about what God would desire us to do in this situation, they seem to have the character, what I would call anyway, the character of man. What is mine, and I'm going to keep it. I don't want to share it. I want to keep my comfort, hang on to what I have, and not give it away, because if I do, then I won't have it anymore. Kind of a selfish attitude. Or are you the Samaritan, the one who gave, the one who healed, the one who saved, the one who has the character of Christ? You know, I look around this room, and I know most of the people that are in this room have been followers of Christ for a long time. But just because we've been walking with the Lord for a long time doesn't mean that we are necessarily showing His character to the world. In fact, I think it becomes a real danger as we walk with the Lord to get to where we feel like we maybe know more than God, maybe know more than the Lord. It was kind of interesting this last week. I try to do devotions in the morning, and I was reading the part where Jesus goes back to Nazareth, to His hometown, and the people listen to Him teach, and they say, wow, this guy's a great teacher. And then they start thinking, well, isn't this Joseph's son? We know this guy. He ain't nothing. You know, and they reject Him. In fact, in one of the stories, they try to push Him towards a cliff to throw Him off the cliff. And I thought about that, and I thought, man, do we as Christians get to where we think that we know Christ so well that we quit listening to Him? That we quit hearing His word? You know, even if you start looking at Revelation and Christ speaking to the churches, you know, he talks about areas where the church starts to fail. And one of those is forgetting their first love. Then there's the innkeeper, a guy that just got witnessed to by a follower of God. He was just there when the Samaritan came and he's, hey, I got this guy, I need to put him in a bed. And well, how'd you meet? Well, he was lying on the road half dead and I just picked him up and was helping him out. And he needs some help. I'm just helping him. So something to think about. Where is your neighborhood? In other words, who would you love on? Is it just the people at the church, the people around your house? Does it include the people at work? Who did Jesus die for? If you specifically want to look at the story, it really doesn't matter where you look, because we know the answer. He died for everyone, including me. So I started out with the story of Sergeant Kyle White. And I wanted to read some more of that story because I just read the first part of that story because this just kind of blew me away about this story. It says, Kyle White was there on November 9th, 2007, walking back from a meeting with elders with his unit of 14 and a squad of Afghan Army soldiers. They knew not to stop. They had to keep moving, Obama recalled of the group walking single file with a cliff to their right and a steep rocky slope to their left. They were heading into an area known as Ambush Alley. In an interview prior to the award ceremony, White told CNN how the group walked down this little incline and looking into the valley when I hear this single shot, then two shots, then the echo, then fully automatic gunfire. Taking so much fire, members of his patrol were separated as they tried to take cover. White was finishing off his first magazine and beginning to load another one when a rocket-propelled grenade exploded, knocking him unconscious. Moments after he came to, an enemy round hit a rock just inches from his head. The shrapnel and rock fragments cut his face. Dazed, he struggled to take in what was happening. He and four others had been separated from the other soldiers, who jumped from a cliff. White administered first aid to the one wounded soldier using the only cover available, a single tree. The soldier would survive. It was at that point in the attack that White realized his radio wasn't working. He looked out and he saw a member of his patrol about 30 feet away whose wounds were so bad that he could not move. White ran toward him, braving enemy fire. White was able to drag the wounded man back to the tree, but the man's injuries were too severe and he died. Risking death again and again, White continued to risk himself to help his fellow warriors, again running from cover into enemy fire to reach the platoon leader. White told the military publication Stars and Stripes that he could see the leader's helmet and assault pack, but he couldn't tell whether the leader was alive. White said he had to see. White crawled toward the man. It was too late. He was dead. White figured he would be killed, but he would do what he was trained to do. He would carry out his duty. It was never a choice, he explained to CNN. I told myself from the beginning that I was going to be killed, you know, just the amount of fire. I'm not going to make it through this. But he kept focused. The soldier White had dragged to the tree earlier was hit again, this time in the knee. So White wrapped his belt around the man's leg, creating a tourniquet. Then White found a working radio on a deceased comrade and called for artillery and helicopter gunships to help. Finally, maybe there could be hope. But then a friendly mortar round landed near White. I remember just red-hot chunks of metal like the size of my palm just flinging by my head, he told Stars and Stripes. Suffering a concussion, White managed to hang on, waiting for helicopters to evacuate him and the others with him that day. When help arrived, he told his rescuers to put the other wounded aboard first. Now, here's a man that I believe is really showing a heart of compassion. He said he was trained to do that, and no doubt he was. And I believe that as we study the Bible, we're getting trained to be people that have hearts of compassion too, if we will let the Word of God sink into our hearts. I don't know if you noticed it or not. Where was white dragging these people to? The tree. I read this story several times, and then all of a sudden it just hit me. That's what we need to do. We need to carry people to the tree, to the cross of Christ. There's nothing in this world that has more value than the cross of Christ. Now, like White, we're going to take some gunfire. We're going to have some pot shots taken at us by Satan, because he's not going to want us to do that. It isn't always going to be easy, and it isn't always going to be fun. And we'll probably get wounded now and again. But I think that's what Jesus would want us to do. There's another statement that I read earlier, and I don't know whether you remember it or not, part of the same article, but it said, the former Army Sergeant said Tuesday, he owes it to these men whom he calls my heroes to live his life well. See, Jesus is my hero, and I want to live my life well for him. I believe it is believers living out their faith by exemplifying Christ's love that is keeping this country and the whole world from falling into deepest darkness. Jesus is the light. Father, I thank you so much for your love for me, your compassion, that you would stop, that you would come down from your heavenly throne to help this wounded, helpless man that couldn't help himself, Lord. And I just thank you for all that you've done in my life and the training that you're giving me, Lord. And I do want to serve you, and I do want to reach out to others. Lord, continue to teach me, to train me to do just that for your name. I want to give you the glory, Lord. I want to give you the honor. Thank you so much. Amen. I want to mention one other character. I didn't mention this character earlier purposely. It's the man who was robbed. I didn't talk about him too much. And you might be like this man that was robbed. Maybe you're feeling a little bit beat up tonight. Maybe you're feeling a little bit exposed or ripped off. But Jesus wants to love on you tonight. He wants to take that burden away from you if you will let him. And if you would like to spend some time in prayer and talk about what's going on in your life, spend some time with him.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through his word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And he rose again in glory, promising eternal life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.